Welcome to the Ecology and Research Channel. Green issues, ecology, incredibly important to embodiment. Obviously, we're embodied in place, we're embodied in a world. How we treat ourselves is how we treat the planet and vice versa. So this is super important, I think, for our whole planet. Research relates to this. We've sort of put two together there. We didn't quite know where to put research, so we put them in with ecology. This stage has lots of great speakers, people I personally enjoy, and it's sponsored by Forests Without Frontiers. So rather than sell a sponsorship for this channel, we decided, you know what, let's give it away to a green charity. Tree planting seemed a good one. We thought we can all get behind that. We all breathe air. We looked into a load, actually. Some of them are quite famous, but don't actually plant a lot of trees, weirdly, or other things aren't so good with them. This one, Forests Without Frontiers, really does the work. They're in charge of a really big reforestation project in Central Europe, but, you know, we're all breathing it, thank you. It's run by Nicoletta, a very cool lady, and just a cool organization that really does the work. The money goes, you know, efficiently to actually planting trees. I'm happy to be supporting them. For me, it was like, you know, when we were looking at our charities to support, a green one just made a lot of sense to me. That just was obvious. Please do support them. Links below. As well as that, enjoy the whole channel. There's so much richness in this topic.
Yes, so I would like to introduce you to Dr. Kumanga Andrahaneddy, who is here with us today. She's author, mindfulness teacher, trainer, and founder of CALM, Center for Advanced Learning of Mindfulness. And Dr. Kumanga Andrahaneddy is also a mindfulness researcher, educator, trainer, consultant with over 20 years of experience in delivering mindfulness-based programs for children, young people and adults. Through her PhD research at University of Dundee, Scotland, UK, she developed a novel contemplative framework entitled Mindfulness-Based Design Practice, and based it on a method of mindfulness, water and Bohmian dialogue in support of 21st century education. And Dr. Andrahaneddy is also the founder of CALM, as I said already. And under CALM, she continues to deliver specialist on-site and online mindfulness-based programs based on advanced mindfulness-based practices within public, private, and government sectors, including to mental health, education, and police organizations and private corporations in the UK and internationally. Through CALM, she's honored to have co-organized the first ever dialogue between His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama and the Western Police Force, which took place as a live online dialogue on 8th of July, 2020. Wow, that's really, you know, some really interesting things you did, Kumanga. I'm really excited to have you here today. And your session is about contemplative ecology through water. And we will explore, you know, through this contemplative ecology, how water element can be used as a method for deep contemplation and developing calmness and compassion. So we will be exploring contemplative ecology through the guided visualization practices such as waterfall, water crystal, mindfulness-based practices. The session will provide an overview of the advanced mindfulness-based practices program and its current applications. And the session will involve a brief talk, presentation, and guided visualization practices that can be integrated within your meditation practice. So I'm really happy to hand over now the word to Dr. Kumanga Andrahaneddy. Welcome to our presentation.
Thank you, and Ayubowan. Ayubowan is a greeting from Sri Lanka to everybody who are joining from around the world, and that means may you live long. So now to begin, I think I'd like to share my screen. May I please check that you can hear me clearly? Very quickly. Great. So I'm just going to share my screen. Can you see my screen here? Okay. So, as Catherine mentioned, the title of my talk this morning, it's actually 7 a.m. for me here in Virginia, but I'm originally from Sri Lanka, like I mentioned earlier, but I lived in the UK for 17 years, and something that I love talking about since I was a child is water. Because Sri Lanka is surrounded by water. It's an island, and it's called the Pearl of the Indian Ocean. So I grew up surrounded by water, waterfalls, rivers, the oceans. Then when I moved to the UK, then when I moved to Scotland to study my PhD, again, I was surrounded by nature and water. So water plays a crucial part in my my spiritual life, my education, but also now my professional work as well. So this is why the title is called Contemplative Ecology Through Water. How can we use water as a mindfulness tool to learn so much from it, treating water as a teacher? So, and like again, Catherine mentioned, I developed a new learning framework, a mindfulness-based learning framework called Mindfulness-Based Design Practice for the higher education sector. And it evolved from there. And now we frame it as the Advanced Mindfulness-Based Practices Program, or the AMBP program that we deliver online. 8-week courses, workshops, and also 1-year teacher training program. So first of all, I'd like to also welcome my teacher trainers are here with us right now, and Tim, one of our faculty members and associate of Oxford University. We are going to be beginning our 3-day retreat soon after this live talk. I'd like to welcome Tim as well. The reason why I decided to call this Advanced Mindfulness-Based Practices, because some of you may be wondering, why is it called Advanced Mindfulness-Based Practices Program? This is actually anybody from beginner to intermediate to advanced practitioner, because I think that nature holds the most ancient wisdom that we can access and learn from. So it can't be a more advanced system than it is. So that is why it's called the Advanced Mindfulness-Based Practices Program. So, and it incorporates the deep contemplative methods of water, mindfulness, and Bohmian dialogue. So like I mentioned, our faculty involves my dearest teacher, Venerable Ringu Tulku Rinpoche. He is the founder of Bodhicharya International, a teacher from the Tibetan Buddhist Order. And then Professor Seton Baxter, OBE, somebody who's done a lot of work for ecology, and my supervisor, my previous supervisor for my PhD. Now he's one of also faculty members on the 1-year teacher training program. And I mentioned Dr. Tim Sweeney, an associate from Oxford Mindfulness Center, and then Venerable Annie Wangmo. And then I also have assistant teachers who are joining me as well. And Stina, Lisa, Vanessa, and Audrey, they're a part of the activity that are currently on. And they support different activity in different ways. I'll move on to my next slide. Oh. Now, like I mentioned earlier, very quickly, I would like everyone to take a moment and close your eyes. First of all, let's bring a place to our mind by water. It could be a waterfall that you are nearby. It could be a river. It could be the Mother Ocean. It could simply be a lotus pond or watching the rain, a moment that stuck with you in your mind so deep. Bring that moment to your mind, that connection you made with water. And let's contemplate on this moment, deepening our connection with the water element. Imagine as if you're experiencing this moment right now. Now bring to your mind one word that comes as a result of deepening your connection with the water element through experiencing water this way in your mind, bringing to your mind that moment, the precious moment you had with the water element. So now let's open our eyes. So now I would like to invite you to type that word on the chat window for me, please. Can you see some of the words coming through, Catherine? Because I can't.
You see them right now?
Mm-hmm, go ahead, because I don't see the chat window. Go ahead. Could you?
Still have still, peace, mm-hmm. calm, mm-hmm. clear, mm-hmm. serene, mm-hmm. pure floating, turbulent, friendship, supported. Mm. Again, peace, serenity, vast, flowing.
Brilliant. Mm. Okay, so here are some words that when I did this exercise with many, many different groups, including I asked Buddhist masters like His Holiness Karmapa, Minjo Rinpoche, and my dear teacher Rinpoche Rinpoche, the same question. these are, you know, we can keep going with actually words to describe water. So these are some of the words, and I think some of the words that you've already written are a part of my presentation here. Calmness, pure, sacred, clear, life, flow, letting go, freedom. Actually, this is a word that children about age of 5-year-old, they came up with this word. I thought that was quite important. Freedom, when you're in water, you feel free. Cooling, soothing, flexibility, perspective, depth, peace, reflection, compassion, bond, connection, very important. Interdependence, acceptance, resilience, empathy, openness, creativity, love, gratitude, richness, nurturing, healing, mindfulness, ancient wisdom, dharma, phenomena, purification, awareness. So these are, I would call them, for example, like natural qualities that comes to our mind, or that we can connect with these qualities through our mind when we bring to our mind the water element. And when we connect with water this way, like I mentioned before, this is the ancient wisdom, the most purest teachings that we can access. So moving on, like I mentioned before, I come from Sri Lanka. This is the island nation of Sri Lanka. And this is a temple, very sacred temple in Sri Lanka, called the Kandy Temple. Kandy Tooth Relic Temple. It holds the tooth relic of Lord Buddha, and it is also by a beautiful lake. And Sri Lanka depends on water for its economy. For example, tea, we export tea, beautiful beaches, the waterfalls, and then of course the lotus ponds, they're everywhere. And it's called the Pearl of the Indian Ocean. And if we connect with our body right now, where we are sitting, again, close our eyes, connect with our water body very quickly. It is known that about 80% of our brain is floating in water. Our lungs are about, again, 80% water when we breathe. And our body is about 70% water. Now let's open our eyes. Oops, a bird flew into the window. Actually, I live in this beautiful about 100 acres of land, and we are surrounded by nature here. You may hear the sound of the water, and also from here I can see the river at the end of our land. So it is an incredible place to be living during this time. Now, the 18th century poet, scientist, Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, referred to water as the ground of all being. And he said that all is born of water and upheld by water too. We live in a water planet. And inspiration from water, artists from, you know, ancient times to, I'm sure you're aware of the Trevi Fountain in Rome, to Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, to Leonardo da Vinci, they all studied water. And also, you know, Monet painted his water lily pond over a period of 30 years. And if you go to the museum in Paris, it's a meditative experience, and it's like a reflection of your mind when you look at his paintings of the water lily pond, reflections on the water lily pond. And not just that, I'm pretty sure you heard about Frank Lloyd Wright, most famous architect in the US and very famous architect around the world. And this house is called Falling Water, and it's built around a waterfall. So architects use water element to create this, to bring in nature into our living room sometimes, even when they create different like a form of waterfall inside the house, you know, or a fountain. So they try to bring in this element of nature through the water element. And I think that the water element is a connection to everything, to all of us. Because we are water, our planet is a water planet, and it is the blood in our body and also the blood of planet Earth. So I was so interested in water. Back in 2010, I went to Japan to study more with Dr. Masaru Emoto. I'm pretty sure you've heard about him. He did these experiments with water, where exposing a particular vibration to water and testing the water to see what the formation could look like. So he exposed sound to water, images to water, and also things like thought and feeling to water as well. So this is me in Japan back in 2010. So you expose a vibration to water. And one of the first experiments that I did is I exposed my love that I had to everyone who helped me to be in Japan. And then you take this water sample and create 50 samples of it in petri dishes. So it's about 3 millimeter in diameter. And then you freeze it under minus 20 to 30 degrees. And then this is kind of another refrigerator that you do the experiments inside this refrigerator, about minus 8 degrees, so that the water doesn't melt so quickly, and it has the full kind of cycle that I can capture the water crystal under the microscope. And it's a metal viewing microscope, so you can clearly see the light comes from the bottom, and you can really see the water crystal, the formation rising towards the microscope. And these experiments that I did in Japan, and you can see number 3 here. This is the first experiment that I did by myself. The water exposed to my feeling of love. And you can see this heart crystal. So this changed my perception about water 20 years ago. 10 years ago, back in 2010. And now we're in 2020. So this still feels like yesterday, though, to me, when I was doing these experiments under Dr. Emoto's method. You can see that they're all different forms, very clear that they create different formation according to the vibration. And this water crystal number 7 is a water blessed by His Holiness Dalai Lama. When he came to London in 2015, I was also part of the volunteer team, and I managed the volunteer team at one of the events. So I was very blessed to have given the opportunity to receive blessings from His Holiness to the water sample. So I sent that to Japan, and this is the water crystal. And you can see in the middle, it's almost like a somebody meditating. And this water crystal is water blessed by His Holiness the Karmapa, 17th Karmapa. And this water was blessed at Ngutulku Rinpoche's center in Germany when Holiness came to Europe for the first time back in 2014. And not just that, water, Buddhist teachers use water to describe the about our meditation practice. So they say that when we begin our meditation practice, it's like the waterfall stage. When we close our eyes, it doesn't need to be a beginner actually. Some of you mentioned the word turbulence when you said about water. So it could be this kind of a feeling to the mind, you know. So many things are happening. So this is called the waterfall stage. And then when we continue on the meditation, it becomes like a river meandering through a valley. And then it goes into the ocean. And the meditation practice can also become like the ocean. And then when we develop our practice, continue to practice, dedicate our time for practice, it could become like the ocean without waves. And all any turbulence on the surface or any waves on the ocean, it settles back into the ocean itself naturally. So, and now I'm going to kind of research, scientific research around nature and its effect on our mental well-being. So not just, you know, we can use water as a meditative tool or using it to describe how our mind works. Not only we can learn from it, but it has been proven that nature has an effect on our mental well-being and physical well-being. So you can type on Google, you can find so many research around this topic now. And in Shetlands, they prescribe going into nature, and specifically the water element prescribed by doctors in Shetland in support of physical and mental health and well-being through nature contact. So you can see, you know, touch the sea. So this sensory experience of nature or sensory experience of water. Now, this is a really important element that I was interested in researching 10 years ago, actually. So now the research is becoming more and more around this topic. And I integrated this water element within the framework of Buddhist philosophical framework of mindfulness, the four foundations of mindfulness, mindfulness of the body, feelings, mind and phenomena. Under phenomena, to experience how things are, to interact with the water element, to understand the nature of our mind. So water element, we can connect with our mind. We've done that earlier. We can touch water, we can see water, we can smell, we can taste, and we can hear. So it's a complete experience that we can gain through the water element. And I interviewed Buddhist masters, and His Holiness the 17th Karmapa said that, "I think in water itself, we can see these qualities and all the phenomena of the mind. They're showing that they're the teacher revealing the path. Many religious traditions use water for purification, and that is why water is really powerful. That is why, of course, water itself is living instruction or living dharma. Even if we can understand this and if we can take water as the dharma practice, I think it is very good. We can learn a lot of things from water." And then Venerable Rinpoche, Thulka Rinpoche said that to think about water, to feel water, to find focus of your mind on water has some very important elements. Even practically in the real life, when you're sitting next to a lake, you feel calm and clear. So especially when you visualize that this water is not just clear, but with all these positive qualities of water, your mind becomes what your mind feels. If you feel hatred or anger, you become that. So when you feel love, you become that. This way, if you feel this water and all this positive, calm, cool qualities, it is healing. And your mind becomes like that, so therefore it has an effect. And Venerable Minje Rinpoche, he's somebody who's again well known in the neuroscientific research on mindfulness as well. His student, Dr. Richard Davidson and Daniel Goldman, wrote a book called The Science of Meditation. And Minje Rinpoche has been tested under Dr. Richardson's lab in the US. And he mentioned to me that especially for Minje Rinpoche, when he sees water, there's a feeling of cool, calm, compassion aspect, flexibility aspect. Because, you know, we live in a world with not so much flexibility in our mind and in our activities, day-to-day activities. So it's important to develop this in our mind so we can be flexible for others. And then Mitra said that, so when we meditate, just watching the river flow makes the mind calm, cooling. And there is a sense of not so dry, but richness and flexibility. So this is what we call the third teacher. Sometimes what we call the symbolic teacher, phenomena becomes the teacher. And they also said, so there's an unfolding meaning of mindfulness from these Buddhist teachers. Mindfulness is a deepened awareness of self, enabling our mind to recognize our thought process, allowing to recognize and cultivate positive qualities of the mind. These are natural qualities. If we let it be, they come to the surface and we can recognize and cultivate them. And then this helps to diminish our suffering. We don't have to do very much. We just have to let it be. And thus experiencing the true nature of phenomena, which is the interdependent nature of our mind, thus empty of independent phenomena. So in other words, what they're saying is everything is interdependent. So now this is a beautiful photograph of Sri Lanka. The teachings of mindfulness is in the Satipatthana and Mahasatipatthana Sutra in Buddha's teachings. And like I said earlier, the Satipatthana Sutra consists of the four establishments of mindfulness: mindfulness of body, feelings, mind, and phenomena. And all the Buddhist meditation practices can be divided into two: shamatha and vipassana. And shamatha meaning calming down or calm abiding practices. And then vipassana is insight meditation. So, Buddhist teachers also said that mindfulness, or sati in Buddhist terms, that when sati arises, it calls to mind wholesome and unwholesome tendencies with false and faultless, inferior and refined, dark and pure, together with their counterparts. And mindfulness, when it arises, these tendencies are beneficial. These are unbeneficial. These tendencies are helpful. These are unhelpful, said Monk Nagasena. So in other words, it's a really active process. So we can cultivate the positive qualities, and we can abandon the negative things. Because with our mindfulness practice, a very live practice in the moment, here and now. And although we close our eyes and it's as if nothing is going on, but it's a very active practice. So from the Buddhist perspective, the characteristics of mindfulness carry an ethical element, therefore, and that shows us the potential of wakefully guiding the mind through recognizing unwholesome, wholesome thoughts that can lead to unwholesome or wholesome actions. Like I said earlier, here is, this is the book, The Science of Meditation. And in this book, Dr. Goleman and Davidson, they speak about something called the deep path and the wide path. Deep path meaning the Buddhist philosophical framework of mindfulness. Then the wide path, such as the Western roots of mindfulness, MBSR, mindfulness-based stress reduction program, and MBCT, mindfulness-based cognitive therapy framework, and other programs. So MBCT, I think it's quite important here. The traditional MBCT was developed to deal with depression. And as you know, that depression is it's a very big problem in the society today. So it's very crucial that we bring in techniques to deal with this without trying to use medicines. So I think this way, if something helps us to prevent any illness, mental or physical, and we should really pay attention to that and receive help from such platform or framework. So, and then you can see that since 1970s, from the start of the Western movement of mindfulness and how it is now, from about 2000 to 2020, there is a very huge increase in the scientific evidence towards mindfulness and its effects. And you can access a lot of papers, research online, but I'm sure there have been other speakers in the forum that have been sharing a lot of the research with you. So I'm not going to go deep into that. And then Dr. Daniel Goleman and Richard Davidson said in this book, in the wake of tsunami of the excitement over the wide path, the alternate route so often get missed. That is the deep path, which has always been the true goal of meditation. And as we see it, the most compelling impacts of meditation are not better health or sharper business performance, but rather a further reach toward our better nature. And then they further noted that if we continue further on the deep path, it is possible to cultivate long-lasting positive qualities such as selflessness, equanimity, loving presence, and compassion, which they confirm and affirm as highly positive altered traits. And they refer to mindfulness as an inner art. And World Health Organization has warned that mental health, ill health will be the biggest burden of disease in developed countries by 2030. This warning clarifies the need to take action towards tackling this epidemic through new approaches, establishing the effectiveness of mindfulness as a prevention strategy. And then not just that, in the UK's Thriving Work Report, estimated a cost of $99 billion annually to the UK due to poor mental health. And then IPPR, the Institute of Public Policy Research, revealed that in the UK, the number of first-year students disclosing mental health problems has risen fivefold in the past decade. This shows the importance of bringing a practice that we can cultivate awareness and connect deeply and help us to contemplate deeply is very much in need right now, more than ever, especially during this, epidemic, pandemic that we are facing around the world. So the framework that we are working on, the AMBP program, has the Four Noble Truths from the Buddhist tradition, and that is to understand how our suffering, to understand deep into our suffering. So the Four Noble Truths are the truth of suffering. Buddha said that we are all suffering, there's suffering. And then the second truth is the origin of suffering. Buddha said that the origin of suffering is actually not understanding. This is actually a misunderstanding of the way we are suffering. So, and he referred to the actual most, the root cause of suffering as, what do you think? Maybe you can quickly type a word again here. What do you think is the root cause of our suffering? We will go into the meditation quickly, but I'd like you to take a moment here. He said that it's ignorance, not understanding the nature of our mind, the nature of our thought processes. This is why it's important to meditate. And then he said that we can end our suffering. And then he also said the path as the Noble Eightfold Path, the right view, right action, right intention, right speech, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. So now we're going to go into our meditation with the waterfall practice. So here you can see that under the mindfulness of phenomena, like I said earlier, the water becomes the practice to understand the nature of our mind. So we're going to go into this framework now and practice the waterfall practice. So I'd like you to come to a comfortable posture, expanding your spine upwards, stretching it up, and very gently start relaxing the spine again, starting from the bottom of the spine. And there will be a point that your spine is relaxed and sitting by itself. So when you come to this posture, let's roll our shoulders back, opening our heart. Tilt your chin very slightly. And let's rest our tongue on the upper palate so there's less production of saliva for our practice together. And let's close our eyes. And this is a visualization practice, but if you're unable to visualize it so clearly, that's absolutely fine. We all have an experience of water, experience of a waterfall. So I'd like you to connect with that, your personal experience, through this imaginary journey into a path in a rainforest, a journey towards a waterfall. Now let's close our eyes if your eyes are open. And first, let's listen to the sound of the singing bowl. Now imagine all of us together. We are in this beautiful rainforest in Africa. We are all barefoot, so we can feel the moisture underneath our feet. It's been raining in the last couple of days in this beautiful rainforest in Africa. So we take a long deep breath. We can feel the freshness in the air and the moisture in the air. And if we look up through the tall trees, tall green trees, we can also see the sun beaming down the trees, keeping us warm. Now we look ahead. We see a very clear but narrow path ahead of us, a path clear of trees. And let's give space to each other to get on this path together, to explore the rainforest. Standing perhaps one behind each other. And let's start walking on this path, enjoying the beauty of nature. And perhaps when you look up, there's a big water droplet on a leaf waiting to fall. And now it falls onto your crown, becoming a part of our water body. Feel the freshness of the droplet, freshness of this moment, sacredness of this moment. And now let's again keep walking. As we walk, we begin to hear the sound of water. And we become quite curious and we walk towards the sound as this path is leading towards the sound of water. And as we walk, the sound is becoming louder and louder. And now we are beginning to see an opening on this path. And let's take this opening, go towards this opening, and come out of this opening together. We are beginning to see a magnificent waterfall pouring over a cliff. Let's walk towards this waterfall. And now we're beginning to see there's a circular pool in front of this waterfall where the water is flowing into. And we're standing on the bank of the pool, circular pool, overlooking the waterfall. The turquoise blue water in the pool is so clear, crystal clear. We can see the white sand right at the bottom of the pool. And the pool is not so deep, it's only up to about our waist. And if you look closer now towards the waterfall, we'll begin to see that there's a cave behind the waterfall. And this is an observation point, a different observation point for the waterfall. So there are two parts to get to this cave. One is this walking path around the bank of the pool, and one is through the pool. So if you wish, you can walk towards the cave, or if you wish, let's get into the pool in front of us. Maybe feel the temperature through your foot or through your toes first, dip it into the pool. And if the temperature is good enough, we can dive into the water, start swimming towards the waterfall. And as we swim, feel the coolness of the water. If you put your head out, the sun is beaming towards this beautiful pool and the waterfall, keeping us warm. Feel the coolness, the freshness, the sacredness of water as we are immersing ourselves in it. And now we are getting closer to the other side of the pool. And we can see a few steps that we can take towards the walking path. So let's swim towards these steps or the rocks and climb a few steps to get onto the walking path, to join those who are walking on the walking path. And now all of us are back together once again as a complete group. So now ahead is this cave. Let's take another few steps entering the cave. Now we can see there's a bench, a wooden bench underneath the cave. Let's walk towards this and giving each other space, let's sit down. If you wish, you can sit on the ground. And now we are sitting right behind the waterfall underneath this cave, right by it, but with a different perspective, different view of the waterfall, quite close to it. So we feel the spray of the water against our skin. The water that is flowing in this waterfall is flowing from a sacred spring nearby. So as this water droplets touch our water body, becoming part of our water body is transforming into this pure sacred water flowing in the waterfall. So let's enjoy this transformation happening right now. Enjoying the coolness against our skin as the water droplets touches our skin. Taking a long deep breath. Now we become even more curious to go right underneath the waterfall. So let's get up from where we are and start walking towards the waterfall. Before we go right under it, let's put our palm underneath the waterfall to find a spot where the pressure is not so hard on our body. And when you find that spot, maybe get onto a rock, not so slippery perhaps, and or wherever that you are right now, let's just get underneath the waterfall and put our body underneath it, perhaps first our shoulders, shoulder blades. Letting the water splash all around our body, through our body. And now let's put our head underneath the waterfall. Feel the pressure of the waterfall. And now we are completely, once again, immersed in water. Enjoying this moment. Connection with water. And now we're going to become the waterfall pouring over the cliff. So let's dissolve ourselves into this magnificent, sacred, pure waterfall. Now we are the waterfall. The sacred pure waterfall flowing into this circular pool, turquoise blue circular pool. As the sun rays touch the spray of the waterfall, it's creating a beautiful big rainbow with all its magnificent colors. And it's so big, it's connecting us to where we are sitting right now, to this chair, to this room. So feeling and sensing the space that you're in, moving your fingers and toes. Let's open our eyes.
Thank you.
like to invite you for a question and answer and a dialogue session now. So Catherine, I'll let you hand it from here.
Yes, so thank you so much, Kumanga. This was wonderful. I really enjoyed it. So you would like some presenters to step up to the panel, is that right? Yeah. So anyone who would like to join to the panel to share experiences with Dr. Kumanga and Andra Haneli, please raise your hand. Let us know you would like to step up, or you can join this panel, yeah. So Roisin Artekos will help you to join the panel. This was so wonderful. I think we all really enjoyed it.
I'm so happy that you enjoyed it. And again, thank you for giving me this opportunity to share. I think what you all are doing is magnificent. Mark, Daniela, Manel, Catherine, Adrian, I've seen everyone involved in this incredible conference, bringing us all together. Thank you very much, first of all. Yeah, so let's begin the dialogue if anybody would like to come through with any questions or anything that you'd like to share from the session today, insights that you received, or yeah, reflection of the practice, perhaps.
Please don't be shy. Just share. Oh, Tim raised his hand. I think this is your colleague, right?
Yeah.
Hi. Sorry. Thank you very much. That was a really lovely visualization. I really enjoyed that so much. And it's quite novel for me, this idea of water and the you're bringing out in your presentation the interdependence in terms of you know, water in everything. That was so powerful, the way that came through. I found that really interesting. I hadn't really thought about that quite with such clarity before, and I'm just wondering, in your program, there was a lovely example of that visualization. How else that point is drawn out within your program? I'd just be really interested to hear about that at this time.
Thank you, Tim. That's a very good question. And you're giving me the opportunity to explain a bit more about the program. So in the waterfall practice, we were becoming aware of our sensory experience of water, the sound of water, the touch of water. So the program unfolds from here, the actual physical experience of water, as well as the visualization practice. So the program involves the sensory experience of water through, for example, 1 week we would be focusing on the sound, another week on the smell, and then another week on the touch, and so on. So there are scripts for each practice. And for example, one of the practices that we do is the ice cube practice. And I love this practice because it really gives us a focus point when we are holding an ice. We can't, you know, focus on anything else but the sensation of the ice cube on our hand, you know. But also, it relates to our difficult emotions. So for example, we relate to our difficult emotion as a form of an ice cube. When we're holding the ice cube, it feels quite stiff, at the same time quite strong or heavy sometimes, or we don't want to hold it because the intensity is so strong. But if we just let it be, it melts away, you know, by itself. So similarly, it's like our difficult emotion. If we just let it be, it's like the ice cube. So we use the water element this way to work with our mind and to understand this interdependent nature of our thoughts, emotions, and how our mind works. Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you so much for your reflection. I would like to raise a question Jo Miller is raising in the Q&A. What other practices you use to relate to the sound of water elements? Do you have any example of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the practices that we do is we bring in the sound of the waterfall, river, and the ocean. So I'm pretty sure there are so many apps that you can download now to make you go to sleep if you have trouble with sleeping. And they have nature sounds, and specifically sounds of water, the ocean waves, or the sound of the river, or the trickling water sound, you know. So you can actually use the sound of water for meditation. And in fact, I would like to share an insight that Mindy Rinpoche shared with me. Mindy Rinpoche, that Buddhist master I mentioned before, about 5 years, 6 years ago now, 2016, he came back, to end of 2015. He was on a retreat in nature for 4 years. He just left everything. And he told me that he used to meditate by a river. And how he meditated was by listening to the sound of the river. And he told me that when you listen to the sound, how you do this is that you just let the sound come through your ears, and then you're just letting it enter and go, enter and letting it go. So you're just being with the sound of the water this way. And then if thought arises, that's okay. And then you gently bring your mind back to the sound of the water. So that's how we can meditate with the sound of water.
This is really wonderful how you explain it. It reminds me last time when I really was stressed and I went to a beautiful lake and it immediately calmed me down, so I can really resonate with this. Wonderful. So Jo Miller says, beautiful, she runs sound bath meditation next to the sea where she lives in the summer. And they always have a very relational bonding quality with those present, much more than those she facilitates indoors. And yes, her teacher says, listen to meditate like rain on a window.
Exactly. Listen. Very, now rain is a form of practice, especially in the UK. It's raining all the time. And when I first developed this program, I practiced with little children, 3 to 4 year olds, believe it or not. They helped me to develop this program. I'm talking about now 12 years ago. And we were in the computer room when we were doing different activities, and we did we made rain sticks, and it was like a game, like the ocean drum. So I used this different things to work with them, and they had to close their eyes and guess what sound that was, sound of water. So, and then I got them, each of them, to lead the meditation. So these little ones, it was pretty incredible. And then I heard from the teacher, the next day it started to rain and they wanted to go outside into the other classroom to listen to the sound of water. So that got me to think, this is so powerful. And that made a connection to these children, and they wanted to actually put it into real world action. So this is it. Water is with us everywhere we go, whatever we do. So we can use water just like the breath is with us always. When we drink, we're drinking water. We are drinking a cup of tea. 99% in a cup of tea is water or a coffee cup. So we can smell, we can taste. You know, we use our sensory experience with water as a meditation mindfulness practice.
That's really wonderful to hear all this. I mean, I can also relate to this. The rainwater on the window when you feel very cozy. And I think Roisin has one more question, and then we would need to close the session. Roisin, do you want to ask your question?
Sure. Ibuan. Ibuan. This set of paintings is actually from Colombo in Sri Lanka. I spent a month there in 2017. And I was there for 2 weeks on honeymoon with my husband. And then when he returned home, I stayed and did a Vipassana retreat. And so having spent a month there, I'm basically just sharing some observations about the session that you've just delivered. But I remember, you know, returning. I actually couldn't wear my jewellery on my fingers because my hands had swollen so much with the humidity. You know, my skin had got turgid with water. And then I remember vividly getting off the plane and the feeling of the wet air, the cold, wet air as it hit my skin, you know, arriving back into Dublin. So it was really beautiful to be reminded of those two experiences and the contrast that water can have, you know, in those experiences. But also then very recently, I was swimming in the Irish Sea. And I say swimming very loosely. I was actually more like floating in the Irish Sea. I don't tend to do very much in the water other than meditate. And it is quite similar to the ice cube activity that you've just discussed. And the one thing I noticed was that actually I didn't need to do anything because by virtue of my presence alone, that was enough to send ripples out. And so I love that water has this very sort of like all-encompassing way of demonstrating that as a visual. It's a very subtle visual, but it is, you know, it's all-encompassing. So I just wanted to thank you very much for how you teased out some of those strands, how you brought them together. And I just find the whole hour a really satisfying and nourishing experience. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for hosting. And once again, Catherine, and everyone who are behind this incredible conference, thank you very much to you all. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to be a part of the whole. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your kind words, Kamanga. This means a lot to us. We really like to be in contact with you. I had a very good experience as well with you. So I would like to thank you for that too. Before I close off, I would like to ask you, what would be your top tip on embodiment? What would you like to leave with us so we could take as a take-home message?
This might sound weird. First thing came to me, okay? Embodiment equals water. Just take it and contemplate on that.
I really feel deeply nourished right now after your presentation. I enjoyed it so much and I feel like ready. I can go on for the whole day for my next presentation and all the tasks I still need to do. Thank you very, very much, Kamanga. If you want to watch this video live, you can do so for 48 hours. We live streamed it also on Facebook. On our portal, you click on Kamanga's session, you can watch it again for 48 hours for free. We really would appreciate if you consider buying our packages, because, you know, sometimes we have so many wonderful presentations and they are quite difficult to digest. So consider buying our library. I think you will enjoy it very much. And I would like to tell you, we have a next presentation soon in 1 hour, and that will be with Devika Mehta, and she will talk about she will talk about traditional approaches in India. So that's also a really wonderful presentation to attend, so I really recommend to stay with us on our channel.
Thank you once again, Catherine, and all the best.